One key piece of Ajahn Sumedho's teaching is, he says very clearly at the beginning of the Second Noble Truth, the cause of suffering is clinging to desire, rather than oftentimes that clinging to desire is omitted. And I'm curious, that this is a very early work of his, so it's not a new thing he came is. And I know there were perhaps particular incidents with Lompo Sha where he learned this. But do you know how does this coming from a previous statement in the forest tradition, or is this Ajahn Sumedho?
That we chanted every morning.
I guess clinging.
Lo upadana kanto, vedan upadana kanto, sang upadana kanto, sankara upadana kanto.
I guess Ajahn Jeff would probably make a distinction between the clinging to the khandhas is first truth, and then craving is the cause of it, rather than cling to desire. But perhaps that's too important.
That's how you end up suffering. Okay, it's just trying to make those parsing it out too fine. So that you actually miss what the result is. So it's important to pay attention to that nature of just that movement of mind, and recognizing that I imagine Sumedho is making distinctions between, say, desire and clinging, and also just trying to recognize, because I think especially as Westerners, we tend to take an ideal stand, and forget that, there's all sorts of movements and impulses and draws to sense objects, to the aspects of being, that we feel should be annihilated, or we feel is problematic, and fail to recognize it's the actual clinging and identification to it that is the problem, as opposed to the nature of mind or the nature of experience that we get hungry, we get drawn to a sound and we feel we should be like that. Or we neglect to pay attention to it, and then we get caught in it. And so learning how to recognize what's that movement of mind? What's the effect of it? What's the result?
Lumpur, regarding that, aren't they both sufferings, but we're adding suffering onto the suffering? Like, if you have a toothache, and that is suffering, but if you don't have mental suffering from it, you're not adding on to the suffering. So that's like the greater suffering is the reaction to it.
Yeah, I mean, because particularly in the realm of feeling, and there's a natural experience of what is, that is how the Buddha defines dukkha vedana. But that's not the actual problem, that we experience pain when we've got a toothache. But the problem is the fear, aversion, agitation that arises because of that. And we can work with that.
Yeah.
We can't eliminate although it is an indication that one should go and see the dentist.
Yeah.
It's telling you something, but it isn't necessary. It isn't a statement of the hopelessness of your being.
But the second is preventing liberation.
Yeah.
Yes.
So just reflecting on the Tonkachana's observation or perspective. I mean, what I found too is that I tend to, you know, my tendency is to be a fundamentalist or be a literalist,
yeah.
Or think that I did it just during this talk right here, like trying to take Ajahn Jeff's opinion about things, Bhikkhu Nyanananda's opinion about things, and Ajahn Sumedho's opinion about things, and wait a minute, he's using this word for this,
right.
He's using this word for this, and they're not connecting, and it reminds me actually of yesterday Ajahn Mahendra was reading about using that mythology of the Buddha calling the earth to witness,
right.
And how that was an interpretation of his,
yeah.
And that's but it wasn't did it happen, was it true, but more using it as a reflection, and the interpretation can stand on its own, and you don't have to make that connect with other interpretations,
right.
And so even though, because I've gotten mixed up when certain teachers use certain keywords in a certain way,
yeah.
And other teachers use the same keyword to refer to a different aspect of experience,
yeah.
And trying to make them commensurable is a fool's errand.
Yes, yes. I mean, that is dukkha. So that's the important piece of that, and whatever... all these different teachings and expressions of teachings, we don't have to actually find out or try to make them match but trying to figure what are they pointing to, and the Buddha is always pointing back to suffering, that quality of discontent, dissatisfaction, dis-ease, discomfort, uncertainty that we feel within experience, and realizing, okay, we've got a way out, and those different teachings they don't actually have to mesh, they do mesh in terms of when we bring it back into that open eye ecodharma, leading it inwards, drawing it inwards. Experiencing what the quality of our experience is, and how do we come to peace with it.